And tell them the Lord always got a word. Look at your neighbor and tell them, as a matter of fact, he is the word. Oh, come on now. Amen. We praise God on tonight. Thank you, Sister Willie, for that selection. I would that you would turn your Bibles to Luke, the 17th chapter and the 11th verse. Mount Pisgah, you've been here, so we're going there again tonight. So. Amen. Luke, the 17th chapter and the 11th verse. Amen. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And just a piece of the 14th verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. You may be seated. On tonight, we want to look at that part of that passage of Scripture and I want to talk about salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. How many of you glad you saved?
Amen.
How many know you saved?
Amen.
How many of us are there in here on tonight got some things? We're saved, but we got some things that we are trying to stop doing. Amen, amen. How many of us are here on tonight that, amen, come on, come on. Don't be bashful. Don't be bashful. Amen. And we came tonight to kind of straighten some things up on trying to stop doing what you're doing that's not pleasing in God's sight. That's a trick of the enemy. For you to try to stop doing, because you can't stop doing it. Because you're trying in your flesh.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul said, there is nothing good in our flesh. Now, I see your looks changing, and just stay with me, okay? I'm going to come out of the book with this. Because, see, somebody need to be delivered on tonight. That's why folk don't shout in church, because they don't know some things that they need to know. So many people sitting in church condemned behind the actions that they do that are not pleasing in God's sight. When the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Hello, somebody. I didn't write it. It's in the 8th chapter of Romans. And we are condemning ourselves by some of our actions. And we even running over across the aisle with somebody else in the pew that we know some dirt on them, and we condemning them. Preach, Pruitt. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, there are some theological doctrines in this Scripture. He says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, I'm a dispensationalist. I understand dispensations. I understand that This is under the dispensation of law, and we're under the dispensation of grace. But this scripture, there's continuity in the scripture. And so this scripture, even though under the law, because if you go back to the fifth chapter, there was a leper there, and he told that leper, the leper said, have mercy on him, and he just touched the leper, and the leper was cleansed. But he tell these boys, go show yourself to the priest. Come on now. Now, why would he tell them to go show themselves to the priest if he had not already healed them? Why would they get to the priest and the priest say, well, don't look like you healed. You're going to have to go back. Hello, somebody. All right. How many know that Jesus had already healed them?
Yeah. All
right. And see, some of you are sitting here under condemnation, and Jesus has already saved you. And you're not going to get any more saved, no matter how better you do at living for him. You just as saved as you're going to ever be. Can I get a witness in the house? Can I preach this, Reverend? And this is the doctrine of justification. In salvation, you have three different tenses of salvation. You have justification, you have sanctification, and you have glorification. Now, a lot of us, we don't know anything about those three different tenses or aspects of salvation. We just throw it all in there and you got to live right. If you don't live right, you're going to hell. That's a lie. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell.
All right. All right.
Have I got Bible behind? Do I need to go to third chapter, John? And Pastor Slaughter, that even comes over the pulpit. If you don't live right, you're going to hell. Now, I'm not preaching that sin is okay because in Romans he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. That's not what I'm not preaching license on tonight, so don't nobody get crazy on me. I'm preaching liberty on tonight.
I like that. Come on.
See, I didn't come to make you shout. I came to make you happy. See, we don't need information. We need revelation. And when you get revelation, you get restoration. And when you get restoration, you get revival. How many want a revival?
Yeah, that's good,
man. Only way you're going to get this stuff is by revelation.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Yeah, now, y'all going to have to run some scripture with me now. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, quickly. Verse 9, 2 and 9. Come on, come on, come on. Uh-oh, somebody ain't in Bible study. Are you there? He said, but as it is written, I had not seen nor ears heard nor entered into the hearts the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're trying to grasp this stuff in your flesh, you can forget it. What an eye hadn't seen, what a ear hadn't heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man. He says, the natural man can't even begin to comprehend this. And even though you saved, you can't begin to comprehend it if you're a carnal-minded Christian. Huh? Now, you hear a lot of folks say, I hadn't seen it, but they don't go with the rest of it. What the rest of it? But, there's a divine conjunction, but. God has done what? Revealed them to us what the eye hadn't seen, what the ear hadn't heard, what had entered into the hearts of men. God has revealed them to us by
His Spirit. Yeah, yeah.
See, revelation is the unveiling of that which has been veiled. Hello, somebody.
Uh-huh.
Look at your neighbor and say, I came out to get something unveiled on tonight. Because I want
to
serve notice on you. Those of you that are here on tonight, you're going to be a head above those that didn't show up on tonight. You're going to have some information that... Let me shut up and leave that alone. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so things of God knoweth no man but what? How you going to grasp spiritual things in your flesh? It's not happening. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is God, that we might what? Come on, read it loud. How many want something free? It don't cost you nothing what God has given you.
All right.
Now, salvation is not free. You just didn't have to pay for it. I know somebody paid for it. Y'all going to make me run up out of here. You got some free stuff. Everybody wants something free. But God reveals the things that he's given us freely by the Holy Spirit. And so when he told these boys, go show yourself to the priest, we look at the doctrine of justification. Now, justification means that positionally, you are God's child. That might not be in practice. You might be cussing somebody out. Hello. They slap you, you slap them back. That don't mean you're not saved. That means that you're in your flesh. That means you're being a carnal-minded Christian. We're going to deal with that tomorrow night. That's sanctification. But tonight we're going to look at justification. Justification means you have been delivered from the penalty of sin, which is what?
Death.
What is death? There's a spiritual death and there's a physical death. And the spiritual death is separation from us from God.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. Physical death is separation of the spirit and the body. So we've been delivered from the spiritual death through Christ Jesus.
All right.
Because we've been reconciled back to God.
Uh-huh.
Now the last enemy which shall be conquered is physical death. Hello, somebody.
All right.
See, you're not going to be raised when Jesus comes back for the church. It's a bodily resurrection because you're a spirit and you don't ever die. Most of us are in love with bodies, and we don't care nothing about what's going on the inside. That's why many of you are married a dude because he looked good, and you married Marvin Hagler. That booger's beating you for everything you got because he looked good. Pastor Slaughter's meddling now. And just because she got that Coke bottle figure, you married her. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Brothers, you don't need no queen. You need a wife.
Yes,
you don't never see a queen cooking and cleaning and all of that. Hello, somebody. He that findeth, you don't say he that findeth the queen findeth a good thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and favor with the Lord. That's my queen. No, no, no. I don't want no queen because she ain't going to do nothing. Who can find a virtuous queen? A virtuous wife. That's just a little aside. I need to get back to where I am. Justification is how God sees you. Write that down. Justification is from a God perspective.
Uh-huh.
Now, just because folk think you raggedy and no good and all of that, that don't mean nothing to God. Just because somebody saw you at the club, hello, somebody. You look at your neighbor and say, he going to deal with the club tomorrow night. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. I could tell it to you, but I want you to look at it. This is who God sees you as. Them boys were already cleansed. Jesus had already done the work. How many know he's already done the work for you?
Man.
So why are you tripping about whether you saved or not? Why are you trying to stop doing? You can't stop doing nothing.
Yes, come on.
That's why a lot of folk don't even want to join church. First thing they'll tell you is, I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Come on,
You know why they say that? They think that when you join church, now you got to be just like Jesus.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that nobody in the church is just like Jesus.
Come on.
We all trying to be like Jesus.
That's right.
Even the pastor's not like Jesus.
Yes,
can I say that here? A lot of pastors, you can't say that in their pulpit.
No,
because see, a lot of us are not interested in your spiritual welfare. We're interested in how many folk we can get in our churches. Because that affects our offering plate. And so a lot of us love church hoppers. A lot of us love folk leaving other churches and come. We'll even go out and minister to other folk trying to get them. Hello, like, what's David's son named Absalom? He got at the gate and stole the hearts of the people. Some pastors will steal the hearts of some other church's members. Hello, I'm trying to tell you something tonight. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? Oh, y'all ain't shouting. Do you know who you are? God is a three times holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Hallelujah.
There is no word in any dialect to describe the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. So Isaiah penned and termed him the three times holy God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you three times holy. You've been lying and you've been doing all kind of stuff, but yet and still, when God looks at you, you are still three times holy. Look at your neighbor and tell him, thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm sure glad I came tonight.
I came tonight.
You got to stop this condemning yourself. That's why folk don't shout in church. That's why folk don't have a good time. Because we all sitting there thinking about how guilty we are. That's the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. We have an advocate with the Father. He will entice you and stick stuff out there for you to get involved in. And then when you get involved in it, he tell God, look, I told you. But we got somebody at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
He said, but Daddy, I got that one.
Yeah.
Can't nobody condemn you but you. God will never condemn you. And you still over here trying to stop. See, you struggling against sin and don't realize that your struggle is really when you just left your place of the righteousness of God and got over in the sin. That was the struggle.
Yeah.
And you struggling trying to do right instead of just being who you are, which is the righteousness of God. Just don't worry about the sin. Just be who you are. I'm telling you, this will liberate you, boy, if you get it in your spirit. I'm telling you, I came to help you tonight.
Yeah.
And folk around trying to see Obama and Romney, but that's God's business. The 13th chapter of Romans said God appoints people over nations. We didn't put Obama in office. God put him in office. And whoever win this time, God will put him in office. No sense you get no headache about all of that. Ain't no sense you're getting all upset with folk because they ain't for who you for and all of that. I wasn't for Bush, but he was my president. Folk talking about he ain't my... Yes, he's the president of the United States. And even though folk might not believe it, and they don't accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, how many know that don't change nothing? And you might not even believe you saved, but that don't change nothing. Some of us will evaluate our salvation by what we do. Look at the neighbor and tell him, you're just a construction site. Have you ever seen a construction site?
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm under construction. Raise up off of me. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That in Christ Jesus is something, man. Can I get a witness in the house?
Yeah.
And you got to get this stuff. You got to, because justification declares how God looks at you. That's positional salvation. Salvation has three tenses: saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, which is tomorrow night, and the presence of sin. And so you got to get the penalty of sin first. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Jesus already bore your penalty on Calvary. And the reason you know he did, because he was raised for your justification. Now, justification is a legal term. And it means that you were in court. And the prosecutor, which is Satan,
come on.
Brought charges against you with the judge, which is God the Father.
Make it plain.
And how many know we all have sinned and come short?
Yeah.
And so there we are with our lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father. Am I right about it?
Mm-hmm.
1 John 2:1.
Yep.
Advocate is a legal term. That's a lawyer. So we're in court, and here's our lawyer, Jesus. And the prosecutor know we're guilty, the judge know we're guilty, and our lawyer know we're guilty, and we know we're guilty, but the lawyer said, Father, put his penalty on me. Since he got to die, let me die. Your sin debt has been paid. And sin is what separated us from God.
Yeah.
You've been reconciled back to God. Hello.
Yeah.
And can't no devil in hell separate you from the Father.
Yeah. Free.
That's what it means to be in Christ. You are partnering in Christ. Christ is in you and you in Christ. That's when you can't do all that fornicating and stuff. Because you taking that Christ in you over here and laying yourself down in an immoral sexual act. And you know what? Jesus is having a fit. Oh, don't do that to me. The Holy Spirit. That's why he said he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay, don't y'all get quiet on me now. He says if you can't contain to get married. Can I get a little aside here? See, we got this thing all mixed up. Sex is great. Sex is good within the confines which God designed for it. Sex is a celebration of the marriage. Nothing like it. That's why it's so awesome. But instead of us celebrating the marriage, we got caught up in the pleasure and the gratification of the act. How many know you can't play with a loaded gun? And if you committing fornication and all that stuff, you playing with a loaded... Hello, somebody. God made it awesome because it was designed for one man and one woman. Just think if you never had but one woman. Just think if you had the only woman on the planet. Reverend McGuire didn't have one. Reverend Slaughter didn't have one. They couldn't even pass by my house. I had the only one. That's what God had in mind.
Yeah.
Women, just think if you had the only man on the planet, y'all know them husbands would be all over your place. But we got the thing so twisted, and that's why we got all of this stuff going on. Reverend, you know, some women come in church with them low cut. And what disturbs me, Mother Roberta, is that if I talk to them, some of them, I'm the pastor, and the first thing they do is, "What, dog, if you had to pull on it, you know it was too low when you left home." And then as soon as I show up, you're going to make me feel good, like I'm looking at your breasts. Go to tugging on it. I ain't studying your breasts. Mount Pisgah, did I do better with that word? They get on me about that other word. Sisters, that's why y'all got to be careful what you put on. You just can't come in church with anything on. Because the devil get busy. Don't be jumping up on the front pew with a mini dress on. And the man trying to preach about Jesus. And you got them big legs sitting up there. Come on, preacher, say amen. Amen. Do like I'm holding it, sister. Get you a scarf. Well, brothers, what we need to do is just tell all the deacons, don't let no women sit on the front pew. Second pew back. Good to go. Justification. Is this helping anybody?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As these three, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they were lepers. They had a sin problem. Turn to Romans 5 and 19. I'm going to sit down in a minute. I didn't come to hoop at you. Romans 5 and 19. See, what you got to get, how many of us are sinners? Look at your neighbor and tell him it's not your fault that you're a sinner. It's Adam's fault. The Bible says all have sinned. Pastor Pruitt, Pastor Slaughter, Pastor McGuire,
yep.
Sister Kelly, Sister Crosby, Brother Bass, Deacon McGuire, all my mama, my daddy, your daddy, all the Pope, all. I don't care who it is, they have sinned and come short of the glory. And there you are trying to stop, please. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all stop letting the devil trip in your head and you trying to stop. You just start being who you are. You're the righteousness of God. You start letting the Spirit rule and reign in your life. And that stuff going to drop off. Tell them that's tomorrow night, though. Stop letting the devil run game on you. And we got to stop. Where was I going? Look at that. He says, verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one much more than which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The gift of what? Look at the neighbor and say, it's a gift. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon C.W. Pruitt, Shannon McGuire, and Slaughter to all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came up upon all men unto what? Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Let me get the other one. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Uh-huh.
Why are you a sinner? Because of Adam's disobedience. You come here like that.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't care how innocent that baby look. He's a little sinner. I got a little grandbaby at the house. He's a little sinner. That book is bad in Jesse James, 18 months old. You bring a baby bear home and want to, oh, he's cuddling, he's cute. Don't you know that sucker going to grow up and take your head off with one swipe? Don't you know Jeffrey Dahmer was somebody's baby? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Listen, you were a rank, no good sinner. And you were separated from God because you were fallen when you came into the world. You had a sin nature. And you still got it. That's why if I slap you, you're going to slap me back. That's why if I cuss you, you're going to cuss me back. And then you said, I know how to get it right. I go to 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sin. Yeah, I'm going to cuss you back and then go to 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sin. I know how to mess up. I know how to get it right. Why would he tell a saint if you confess your sin if we don't sin?
Oh, there it is.
When he said 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess, that means to call it what God called it. Mm-hmm. That means to expose it for what it is instead of running around, well, that ain't too bad. Yeah, it's enough to take you to hell if it wasn't for the blood. It's not going to condemn you to hell, but it's going to take you out of fellowship with God. Hello, somebody. And you wonder why you can't shout and why you can't have no joy. You ain't confess your sin. He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and cleanse us. Boy, God does everything for us. You can't do nothing for yourself in the spiritual realm. God does it all. He said, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You didn't do nothing to be a sinner, did you? You didn't do nothing to be saved either. Well, I went and gave my life to Christ. Really? Ephesians, the second chapter. You didn't do nothing to get saved. How many know we don't have that much sense? Verse 4.
Yes, sir.
See, if you don't, Reverend, did you get a word? You said you wanted a word.
I got it.
Because we're going to shout off of this Thursday night. We're going to do some ripping and running. Boss going to get busy. Yeah, we might. Little Daryl going to crank the drums up. Amen. We're going to do the fool on Thursday night. But it's just not going to be an empty praise. We're going to know why we praise him. Folks just keeping up a bunch of racket. God just, oh, goodness. They're getting on my nerves. Right? All that hollering and screaming and stuff. They don't mean none of it, trying to impress folk. Show folk how spiritual they are and all of that.
Yeah.
And you know they ain't shouting when they stop.
Come on.
Straighten the hair up on their head and all of that. Leave it alone, Sister Kelly. Verse 4, he said, but God who is what? For his what?
Great love.
Wherewith he loved us when? Even when we were dead in sin.
Right.
God didn't start loving you when you got saved. God loved you when you were. Hey! Ho! Oh! Drop it like it's hot! Party over here! Party over there! Party everywhere. That's what he's saying here. God loved us when we were doing all that stuff. Man. How you going to let folk condemn you? And the word says, see, we just look over all of this stuff. We just read the Bible. We miss all of this. He says, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. Quickened means that he made you alive. See, the Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. And see, you have a new life in you when you get the Spirit in you. That's why you don't want to. How many of you feel guilty when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? Don't you remember when you didn't feel guilty? Don't really feel guilty now, because the Holy Spirit has quickened. You got a new life in you. See, the fact that you feel guilty about when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing is evidence that you are saved. Because folk that ain't saved don't feel bad about whatever it is. They don't. I ain't got no problem with it.
That's right.
And you know I ain't lying, because you didn't either before you got saved. You didn't care nothing about that being another man's wife. You didn't care about him being married. Some of y'all were looking for married men. Married men good to you. All the good men are married. No, that rascal just being good to you because he is married. If he didn't have no wife, he'd be a rascal too. He'd be a cat daddy too. Don't let them guys. And has raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, guys, in the Spirit and in Christ, you have a heavenly citizenship. That's why you don't fit in with the world and all of this stuff that the world do, because you're not an earthly citizen. You're a heavenly citizen. You wonder why you don't fit in and why folk don't like you that doing some of everything, and when they get to doing some stuff, they want you to be dismissed. I married a couple, they were Church of Christ, I'm going to just tell it. And soon as I said, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they handed me a check and rushed me out the door because they were getting ready to throw down. And I'm thinking, why don't y'all just go to the JP? Be wasting my time marrying two heathens. Okay, I'm going to stop. All you want is a legal wedding. You don't want no holy union. That in what? The ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his what?
Grace.
In what?
With kindness towards
Christ. See, when you sing Amazing Grace, next time you ought to have a different. Because you know what's going to be put on display? In eternity is God's grace. The eternal display of God's grace and his kindness towards sinners. You know why you saved? Because of God's grace. God don't have to okay it with nobody because he loves you. He's sovereign. God says, I love who I want to. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. As raggedy as I am, you still love me to the point that I am the righteousness of God. Are you getting this? Now, see, if you can't wrap your mind around it, that's okay. Just meditate on it. And you'll have a revelation on it later on. It might be next year sometime before this really come. Hello. But I'm planting a seed tonight.
Amen.
Because I'm tired of you coming into church being condemned and feeling bad about who you are and all of that and slanging snot and crying at the altar. You ought to be shouting at the altar.
Amen. Amen.
He says in verse 8, by what? So what saved us when we gave our life to Christ? So who was in it? Why did we give our life to Christ? The Holy Spirit had done a pre-salvation work. It's a complete work of God, guys. And there's so many preachers preaching a work salvation. You know who preaches a work salvation? That is satanic preaching. Satan is declared himself to be the angel of light. Satan is a preacher.
Yeah.
Satan ain't over at the club partying and carrying on. He don't care nothing about that. Satan is religious. Satan has a religion, and it's a work salvation.
Right.
And a lot of us are setting on a work salvation instead of a grace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. You don't have to do nothing. God does it all. Do you hear me? Everything that needs to be done for you concerning your relationship, your salvation, your justification, your sanctification, your glorification, God does it all. And there you are trying to stop. You can't stop. If you could stop, you'd have never started. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to have to do something different on this. First thing you have to do is stop condemning yourself. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. Why? Because y'all know we're going, man, listen, I stopped doing this and I stopped doing that. And we're going to tell you all about what we did and how righteous we are. Listen, God ain't having none of that. Who's going to get the glory for you being saved? Well, I got to stay out of that. That's Thursday night. He said, for we are his workmanship.
Yes,
we are his Mona Lisa. We are his masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him I'm a masterpiece, man.
Masterpiece.
God has made you. Just like Jesus. As bad off as we are, God has saved us and made us sons and daughters of God. How many know that's a masterpiece? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Guys, listen. Salvation is of the Lord. You have been justified. Turn to Romans 5 and 3 and let me go home. I got a whole bunch of stuff here. You see why he said go show yourself to the priest? He had already done it.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was just, they really didn't have to go. We're going to find that out too. We're going to talk tomorrow about it. As they went, they were cleansed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Verse 1. Therefore, being what?
Justified by faith.
What does justify mean? You're the righteousness of God. Your sin debt has been paid. The penalty for your sin has been paid. Legal term. You're free. Even though you sin. And used to be a sinner. You're not a sinner now. You're a saint. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? To know you got peace with God. Listen, I don't care what you did. I don't care what you're doing. The Bible says you've got peace. Now, you might not have peace with Negroes, but you got peace. You might not have peace with your husband. You might not have peace with your wife. You might not have peace with your boss. You might not have peace with your brother. You might not have peace with your sister, but with God. You got peace. God will never be upset with you about anything. Perish the thought. Get it out of your head. God will never be mad at you. Because everything that it took to make peace with God has been done through Christ Jesus. And every time a problem comes up, you have an advocate with the Father. Hebrews 7 and 25 says he's able to save us unto the uttermost. He that cometh to God. How many know what uttermost means? seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I don't want to deal with that too much because I'm going over there tomorrow. How many know what uttermost is? That means to limits that you really can't wrap your mind around. Unfathomable limits. You are so saved. Your sin debt has been paid, but the payment was so awesome that it was overpaid. God himself robed himself up in flesh. Took on a body for one reason. That he might come down to earth and get up on a cross. Hello, somebody. And don't you remember they were crying? If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. And then the thief said, and save us. But how many know he did not come down to get down from the cross? No, no, he came down to get up on the cross. Can I get a witness? Because therein was our salvation. He said, prepare me a body and give me 10,000 miracles and I'll go down and bring mankind back to you. Can I get a witness in the house? How many know you've been brought back to God? Ain't God good tonight? How many know Jesus is your Savior? Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But I'm sure not what I used to be. How many know there's been a change in your life? Since the Holy Ghost stepped out in you.
Yeah.
Ain't God all right?
Yeah.
Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for bearing my sin.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Lord, for dying for me.
Uh-huh.
Can I get a witness in the house? Anybody love Jesus on tonight?
Yeah.
You know the little children talk about, yes, Jesus loves me. That ain't no plaything when you get in the Word of God. How many know he loves you?
Uh-huh.
Yes, Jesus loves me. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad in these times where folk love to hate folk, I got a God.